Bom dia a todas e todos. Vamos iniciar agora a teleconferência.
Good morning. Shall we start our teleconference for analysts and investors? My name is Artur Oliveira, Investor Relations Area of the company. Today we have our CEO, the Investor Relations Director, Ricardo Bottas, and all the entire executive committee. Before we start the presentation, I want to make a few brief announcements. This conference call is being recorded and translated simultaneously. The presentation will be projected only in Portuguese, but the presentations in Portuguese and English are here in the Zoom chat and also on the IR website. All participants will only listen to the teleconference during the presentation, and we will open the Q&A section for investors and analysts. To ask our questions by audio, just use the Zoom raise hand button at the bottom of the screen. Those who prefer can also leave their questions through the Q&A space in form name and company. Now I give the floor to Ricardo Bottas to start the presentation. You have the floor. Hello, thank you, Artur. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone who is here to participate at our conference call to talk about the results for the third quarter of 2022. As you may all been informed, that has been a period of great challenges as the past quarters, with some results below our expectations and our long-term history in the pre-pandemic period. But some indicators, they already highlight some improvement. After more than 2 years of the pandemic, which everything indicates that we are going to go to improve, and we have a much more optimistic scenario about the coming periods. Our operating results started to show relevant evolutions in relation to the last quarters, with an inflection in the healthcare claims rate, a 16% quarterly growth in revenues, with an evolution in all business lines, a relevant improvement in administrative expenses, with an 11% reduction in the quarter, and a higher contribution from the financial result, which was 81% higher. Thus, even with the short-term challenges that we have to face at the end of 2022 and is still expected for 2023, I believe that we have already started our recovery process in the post-pandemic period, a trajectory that is indeed long and gradual, but that is being strongly worked on and by our company through important forefronts that we will address in more detail throughout today's presentation, in actions related to revenue increase, claims management, and optimization of administrative expenses regarding our financial results and interest rates. At the same time, we believe that in this moment of recovery, it is fundamental that we maintain the pace of growth and continue to build the basis for our future development, being sure that we are on the way back to the normal course of our business with regard to the seasonal behavior of our quarterly results. Our value proposition and quality continue to be widely recognized by customers and brokers, with our sales and retention levels as the main references. We have shown growth in all business units, expansion of beneficiaries, 2.8 million in health and 2.1 million in dental, a total of 4.9 million, increase in revenues and insured in life and personal accident, the resumption of growth in private pension as well, with the reserves reaching the level of 10 billion BRLs, in addition to record volume of assets under management by SulAmérica Investimentos, reaching an unprecedented 55 billion. Not least important for the future regarding the business combination with the Red Door, we continue advancing with the approvals. SUSEP, already gave its approval, and last Monday, CADE's General Superintendents decided for the approval of the transaction without restrictions. We are just now waiting for the 15-day deadline for the confirmation of the decision. At the same time, the ANS and the Central Bank, whose approvals are also required, continuing their normal analysis processes. We'll keep the market informed about relevant updates and remain very confident about the opportunities and benefits that this union will bring to both companies and to the entire supplementary health sector in Brazil. We are very confident about the opportunities that this joint and acquisition effort will bring to our customers, shareholders, and to the supplementary health in Brazil. Now, to go within details about the performance in the quarter, I'll give the floor to Reinaldo Amorim, our CFO and CRO of the company, followed by Juliana Caligiuri, who is our vice president, that will talk about Odonto, and Marcelo Mello, our VP of Life, that will talk about pension and investments. Thank you, Bottas. Good day to all of you. Shall we start with slide two? I will talk a little bit about revenues in the quarter. I also would like to highlight the 16% growth in consolidated revenue compared to the third quarter of the prior year, and 8% compared to the second quarter 2022. An important acceleration that mainly accompanies the health and dental segment and life insurance for personal accidents. Juliana will detail this topic, but here we have a positive influence of both the growth of beneficiaries and application of higher and necessary price adjustments. Remembering that the concentration of contract renewals occurs from this third quarter on. So we now feel that a bit stronger in terms of impacts in our revenue, some readjustments impacts in our revenue. Such a dynamic of revenues and average ticket, which should continue in the coming months and in 2023. Now, slide three, some highlights and moving for the quarter and the first 9 months of the year 2022. Despite the generally lower numbers in relation to last year third quarter, the main highlight here is the sequential improvement of almost all indicators in relation to the second quarter, especially the consolidated loss ratio, which showed a gain of 1.2 percentage points in relation to the past quarter. Let me highlight excellent results as well with administrative expense ratio, which was 6% of revenues, an important improvement in relation to the last quarters and one of the best numbers we have ever shown for this indicator. I will talk more about that in a little while. Slide four. Here we also see an improvement in the indicators compared to the second quarter, but I also want to highlight a good performance of the financial result, which has reached 200 million in the third quarter, mainly following the increase in the average of Selic rate, as Bottas has already addressed. Such a result has contributed to the improvement of the consolidated result as a whole. A net income amounted to 49 million in the quarter. That shows a worsening in relation to the same quarter of 2021 and in relation to the second quarter of 2022. But I want to remind you that in both the past periods, we had relevant and extraordinary effects in the income tax revenue, which impairs well this comparison. 235 million in the third quarter of 2021 of extraordinary effects in this line, and also 117 million in the second quarter of 2022. Excluding these effects and just looking at the pre-tax net revenue, we have a positive evolution in this third quarter. In both comparisons, I mean, reinforcing the trend of the prior quarter and this quarter as a trend of a start of recovery. Slide five, here we have a macro perspective of a consolidated business and that we are going forward to recover results. And I want to bring you a look at the main initiatives we are taking to advance this recovery. We compiled all these initiatives and we broke them down into three main pillars. Our focus has been on increasing revenue, better claims management, and optimizing our administrative expenses. Talking about the revenue initiatives as to revenue increase, as I have mentioned before, we have accelerated the application of readjustments to both health insurance renewals and also to new sales price tables. High adjustments, but necessary in view of the cost dynamics faced in recent past years. At the same time, we worked to maintain sustainable growth with the launching of new products such as Direto Mais. We gave additional focus on retention sales, and with that, we have been able to maintain a high level of customer renewal levels, even with this higher prices increases. We have a variable product portfolio that may meet clients' needs at different times. We have also accelerated growth in wealth segment. In life, we have shown a post-pandemic recovery in revenues that has been highly sustained since the end of last year. In investments management, we have hit a record in third-party assets, mainly driven by our credit funds. Second pillar, claims management initiatives. We have been moving forward with new compensation models, which today already account for 45% of total claims, but still have room to evolve. Even those more advanced models, such as capitation, which we have been testing in some markets and products with good results expected. Furthermore, we have been managing closely the accredited network, always seeking high assistance quality, but at the same time, we are after a more cost-effective journey with a closer alignment between us and the medical hospital providers. We also have been very efficient in our negotiations with providers, achieving percentage adjustments on average below inflation. And at a time when elective claims are still quite high, with high utilization and of an average cost of claims, we have intensified the medical audit and medical board initiatives, in addition to those campaigns, which are so important and fully dedicated to the conscious and awareness use of insurance. With that, the goal is to provide a better care and to prevent possible abuses and frauds. Finally, about the initiatives related to the administrative expenses, which have been brought great results, including reductions in absolute terms, both in relation to the third quarter of 2021 and the second quarter of 2022, which is quite significant. Our focus is on seeking efficiency and optimizing expenses. We have prioritized the projects and optimized the contracting of third-party services with significant savings in these accounts. We have also achieved good savings in the advertising line, publicity, with optimization of expenses and a focus on online media. In the post-pandemic period, we have also been using our offices in a more useful way with the hybrid management model. With that, we see a high degree of remotization and less use of physical spaces, which are mainly dedicated to the so-called moments that matter for face-to-face meetings. Finally, we have reduced the executive structure and expanded the company's span of control, making our structure lighter and more agile and less costly. With this, I reinforce the message that we are working really hard to regain operational profitability, which is one of Sul America's characteristics that is the market recognizes. I will now hand the floor to Juliana Caligiuri, who will comment on the performance in health and dental.
Thank you, Reinaldo. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with all of you. Starting from slide 6, we are going to talk about health and dental, where there was 70% growth in the quarter over the same period 21. As Reinaldo anticipated, this is a result of organic growth in number of beneficiaries and the application of price adjustments in both renewals and new sales. We have also consolidated Sompo, and if we exclude the numbers of the acquisition, we still experience 14% growth, and that's only organic growth. The bottom portion of the slide, we have the progression of loss ratio, which went up to 88.3% in the third quarter, still high and above what we used to have pre-pandemic, with strong impact on cost and frequency of elective procedures that remained at high levels in the period. In the meantime, we are evolving in readjusting our premium size. On the other hand, there has been an improvement in loss ratio over the second quarter with a positive evolution of 1.4 percentage points. At the same time, as Reinaldo pointed out, we have expanded our initiatives in claim management and health coordination in search for a more cost-effective journey for all our beneficiaries, combining high-quality care but also cost control. We have evolved in new compensation models using intelligence and analytics to understand claim management, being more precise, but continuously searching for quality and proximity to our beneficiaries. These initiatives are the basis of our sustainable claims track record, and these tools have become even more important in this period of margin recovery post-pandemic. Slide 7 shows us the main numbers of dental and health. The increase in beneficiary has been a positive highlight. One more quarter where we have an expand of insurance base supported by an increasing, complete and diversified portfolio, in addition to the strength of our commercial teams and insurance brokers. We've reached almost 4.9 million beneficiaries in health and dental, growth of 9% over September 21, including the acquisition of 125,000 lives from Sompo. Group plans alone, 4.7 million beneficiaries, 2.6 million in health, 2.1 million in dental. In health, for the past 3 months, there was a 48,000 increase in lives over the second quarter of 22, with a highlight of SME, but also with good performance in corporate, and we have resumed sales in the quarter. In dental, the growth was even greater, 75,000 over June, compared with the same period last year. The progression was also very positive, 269,000 lives in health, including Sompo, and 138,000 lives in dental. It's been a very important expansion of our portfolio, and even with significant price adjustments, we have maintained a portfolio that is retained and renovated at the same time. Now, speaking of mid-ticket, as Reinaldo pointed out, this is a strategic topic of the company and still focus of growth. slide 8, we can see one of the drivers of this growth, which has been the direct line, where we reach it, a 226,000 lives altogether, very much above, more than half, the double of what we saw last year. And Paraná Clínica, where we observed significant growth, reaching really a very high number of lives in the quarter, or 52% over 21. So in mid-market, it means 226,000 lives, solid expansion in this mid-market niche, where prices are 50% cheaper than our consolidated ticket in the case of Direto, and 70% compared to Paraná Clínicas. I think that this is what I wanted to share with you about dental and health. We are going to talk more about during the Q&A. And in Paraná Clínica, we are going to expand to 3 more regions. We are opening centers in Londrina, Cascavel, and Maringá this year. So we still have got a lot to come. Said that, I'll hand it over to Marcelo Melo, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you, Juliana. Good morning, everyone. I am here going now to slide 9. I would like to highlight the continued recovery of the life segment. We've maintained the trend of revenues growth, which expanded 15% in the quarter, growing more than our industry, showing also the recovery of travel insurance, which has already amounted to about 8% of our portfolio. In addition, of course, to the good performance in group life, including the application of price adjustments to some of our portfolios. I would also like to highlight the maintenance of controlled claims rate, about 50% in the quarter, and maintaining expressive improvement compared to 21, with positive evolution of the pandemic and the drop in COVID-19 deaths, we can already see a normalized perspective for this indicator. All of that is translated into positive evolution of gross margin, both in the quarter and year to date to September. And the portfolio is really contributing to the results of the company. Now, moving on to slide 10, I'd like to tell you about pension funds, highlighting the growth of 9% in the quarter in our revenues over the same period in 21. It was once again driven by the performance of VGBL. And it's also important to add that now we have new pension funds in our portfolio, really expanding our strategy of open architecture to partners and customers. Total reserves reached almost 10 billion, 7% higher than in the same period last year. Now on slide 11, where we are talking about asset management of SulAmérica Investimentos, which reached a record of a managed volume of almost 55 billion in September. It has been driven by growth in third-party funds by more than 45%. It's also important to highlight the positive performance of credit and fixed income funds, which have almost doubled their size during 1 year period. Our growth, the growth of SulAmérica Investimentos in 2022, has maintained a very accelerated growth, much more than the fund industry at large. Operating revenues showed a 13% increase in the quarter, following the increase in management fees. Year to date, there was a 15% drop, which is basically related to lower performance fees, which are all maximized by the market of variable income. Said that, I'll turn the floor back to Reinaldo to conclude the presentation. Thank you, Melo. I think I'll skip slide 12 because I think I've already addressed the topic of administrative expenses in previous slides. So let's move on to slide 13. And to wrap up our comments, this slide shows our allocation position of our proprietary asset portfolio, which is very similar to what we had in the previous quarter this year. Once again, the portfolio's yield was somewhat impacted by the performance of fixed rate and IPCA indexed assets, but it was offset by the increase in Selic interest rate, considering that our allocation is approximately 70% of our portfolio in Selic and CDI. With that, we close our initial remarks and we can now go into the Q&A session. Thank you.
Obrigado, Reinaldo. Vamos começar
Thank
agora.
You, Reinaldo. Shall we now start the Q&A session just for analysts and investors? And please don't forget, if you want to address your questions by audio, just raise your hands. Our first question is from Samuel Alves from BTG. Your mic will be open now. You may go on. Good morning to all of you, directors, VPs, we have two questions from our side, those along the same side. The first one has to do about the provisions, the PEONAs. There was a great revision during the PEONA in the third quarter, something around 350 million BRLs. What is the reason for that? If there is, even though there is an increase quarter after quarter. My second question has to do with the PEONA itself, claims. And by excluding PEONA, we see a cash claim increase quarter after quarter. What are the reasons for such an increase? Was that a mix of procedures or anything related to frequency? Thank you.
Well, thank you for your questions.
We should not forget something important about provisions for events. They take into account the technical shares. So that is a provision of those claims that have occurred and not yet notified to the company. And another rate of claims are those that were already notified to providers for reimbursement, but they have not been paid yet. That is within the payables and bills to be covered and claims to be approved. The analysis should be done considering the total provision, summing up both components. A segregated analysis of each one of those components will add the velocity of communications or into the regulatory process and payment to providers that will comply with a predefined calendar. Let's not forget that in average, a health claim is paid usually within 3 to 4 months after the occurrence of such a claim. And that is communicated to the company by the provider 2.5 months after that claim has occurred. So my suggestion is, sum up the PEONA and the PSL and the technical of a BNP, which is the acronym in English, the total occurrence of claims and not paid, and the technical norm has increased from one quarter to another. The health provision has increased almost 150 million from one quarter to another, which makes sense and is very aligned and consistent to your comment of portfolio growth. Claims seasons, they are very close, both the second and third quarter, but we had a better management of claims during our third quarter, which was one of the reasons why that growth was not so relevant. So I cannot answer you pragmatically if there was any specific impact over provision or any changes in methodology or acceleration observed during this period. As to the second part of your cash claim aspect, it's useless to check the company's claims cash flow because that is aligned to our provider's payment calendar. The volume of payments that get out our cash flow, the company's cash flow, they are related to the first and second halves, and also due to prior years aspects. So there is a certain distortion there. And I would suggest not only our company, but the market as well to emphasize analysis by competences. This is where we have to understand our IBNR. Thank you. We are going to check both technical provisions. Thank you.
Vamos lá, a nossa próxima pergunta vem do...
The next question comes from Vinicius Ribeiro of UBS. Vinicius, I'll allow you to talk now. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions about loss ratio. The first, concerning negotiations, price adjustments, and the behavior of frequency, as you described in your presentation, do you expect loss ratio to reach pre-COVID rates in 2023, or maybe it will be later, or it will eventually never happen? And the second question is a follow-up about a topic that we discussed in previous quarters, loss ratio and the profitability of mid-ticket. When you launched Direto, you said that you expected to have the loss ratio equal or even better than what you had in the company. So we understand there are a number of moving parts associated with the pandemic, but how have you maintained the profitability of these products as the market evolves? Thank you, Vinicius. Juliana speaking. Loss ratio is a long-term recovery, so I'm not going to give you any guidance, but we think it's going to resume its levels as we readjust prices of the current portfolio and future sales, and the more we control costs. There is no overnight mechanisms to do it. Adjustments take at least 1 year for each negotiation when they are readjusted, and also the loss ratio adjustment. So it seemed to be a positive point. So we've seen some slight reduction. We're talking about 88% loss ratio, which is still very high. But to reach pre-pandemic levels, probably it would take some time. And we are going to keep on making price adjustments in the portfolios, which are really lagging behind. Now, in terms of mid-market, it still has presented a loss ratio, which is better over other products of the company. It's a result of new sales mix. Being new, it tends to be newer, more, let's say, more oxygen, because there are new sales with new characteristics. We don't think it's mature enough to state that the loss ratio will be any different. But after 5 years since the launch of the first Direto and seeing the expansion of the portfolio, we still have a very positive outlook that this is going to be a mechanism to control loss ratio. So we do have positive expectations, but we still need some maturation in this portfolio. That's great. Thank you very much for your answer.
Vamos lá, nossa próxima pergunta.
Our next question is from Mauricio Cepeda, Credit Suisse. You have the mic. Hello, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. My question has to do with the prior question, a positive perspective, at least a preliminary perspective, to have a lower claim rate. But from a broader perspective in terms of future plans, my first question, what is your feeling from a business and corporative level, from a projects and plans? And even though you are negotiating lower prices, conversely, wouldn't that be a perspective of a better claim future? Thank you. Hello, Cepeda, and thanks for your question. The downgrade is quite natural, especially because we are facing high inflation, high readjustments, and the company is still recovering from the pandemic period. So we have that post-pandemic issue in our business. But that is not increasing. Health customers, they are not massively downgrading. Our portfolio keeps growing, and it keeps growing in our special product, which is the average product, maybe a little bit higher than that. And we are also increasing our average ticket. So we do not see any cannibalization of these figures. On the contrary, we see a growth leverage in our portfolio by the mid-market. Of course, that there are those clients that they go on a downgrade and they look for more effective solutions. That's why we believe that the director had a very important role in this game, in addition to some actions, such as captation actions, where we chose some diagnostic outpatient medicine approach, and we had to transfer that volume to that new segment to allow more competition. And with that, we see more attraction among customers that are aligning to this new movement because they have lower claims. Everyone understands that the mechanism is going to be the downgrade. There are other mechanisms which are as efficient as and allows, and they allow us to keep a product of a higher quality and penetration. So yes, we do believe that in the long run, the mid-market growth will change our average ticket. The higher that will be in proportion to our portfolio, that is going to decrease our average ticket, but better claim control and healthier scenario. That is our thesis, and that has been proved even 5 years later. It's very solid.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Obrigado, Cepeda, pela... Thank you, Cepeda, for your question. Let me now hand it over to the next one. If you ask a question, please let us know by raising your hand. The next question is by Leandro Bastos with Citi. So, Leandro, please. Just give me 1 second. Ready to go. Thank you, Arthur. Good morning, everyone. I have 2 questions. You've just talked about downgrading. As price adjustments evolve, have you identified that dynamic for, let's say, adjustment of network? You've talked about captation. Is it something that is gaining more and more attention or not? So this is one first question. And secondly, speaking of Direto with a national coverage launched in September, please tell us what you talk, what you mean addressable market for the product, and how have you noticed acceptance for it in the digital market? Thank you, Leandro. Juliana here. Well, network adjustment is a constant and natural tool in health management, but it's also a point of pain for capillarity of our beneficiaries. Some, especially large companies that understand the dynamic of loss ratio, its complexity, they see this mechanism as being a positive mechanism, provided that it does not impact the quality to beneficiaries, which is our principle as well. No captation or no other changes of model have impacted quality, just impacted capillarity coverage for the diagnostic medicine. It was just an expansion of number of units with the companies that were the winners of the bidding. So we've maintained geographic coverage, but it always generates some discomfort. It generates some noise if it's not properly understood. And this is why companies have been asked for us to do it, but always reinforcing communication, important change management, and management of beneficiaries to avoid friction. So we've learned a lot throughout this journey, and we've been improving our processes to have actions such as this in a very effective way, generating minimum impact to our beneficiaries. I see a trend in this kind of movement, and it may gain action in Direto, where we have a restricted network, and also coming up with mechanisms to have better control of loss ratio effectiveness and quality with a specific network and specific specialties. Now, about Direto Mais, we are very excited about the initial results. More than 1,000 sales of the product in 1 month alone. Very positive if we compare against other products. In São Paulo, we have huge potential. We are talking about 50, 60,000 lives in a 2 or 3 year perspective for mid-ticket. This is possibly the potential for the next 3 or 4 years, but it's a brand new product. There is still learning from our side because it's a national product. It's different from the other, Direto, which were just regional. There is a management of health by physicians through multi-channels that have to be validated, and it's a physician-based model. So there is still some learning that we have to derive of it to decide if this is going to be the model that we'll maintain. But we are betting on it because it really changes the relationship between patients, physicians, hospitals, HMOs. So it is a 4-point interaction among players, really. So we have positive outlooks, but still too early to say anything. Great. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Our next question is from Felipe Nobre from Welt. You have the mic now. You may address your question.
Felipe, então você retirou sua pergunta da fila.
Well, Felipe has removed his question from the line. Well, as there are no further questions, I now would like to give the floor to Ricardo Bottas for his final remarks. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, everyone who had joined us during this conference call. I'd like to emphasize our strategies to reach positive and effective results. I will somehow summarize what has been said during slide 5 and our health operations. We have highlighted at what extent our loss ratio for life in 2022 is back to normal levels, and we are growing fast, allowing a good ROI. Our rentability levels and profitabilities, they are being achieved, and we are prioritizing our revenue growth with consistency. Of course, loss ratio management, that is a priority. Without losing our quality, our health care quality, which is a characteristic, a logo mark of our logo brand of our team. I mean, we have several actions that are necessary, especially take into account our focus with the quality in the care delivered, as well as affordability, which is a characteristic of our company. Optimization of administrative expenses, and let's not forget efficiency as a main focus, followed by prioritization, and that is part of our team's endeavor. And I'd like to thank everyone for the commitment to prioritize and to allow more efficiency. And this is a pathway that we are going to follow, and it's part of our trajectory because we wanted to keep sharing good indicators. Nevertheless, a positive impact from a financial result. The year It seems to be a very good macroeconomic recovery year. That is a market consensus. We really wanted to have economic acceleration as our business is highly impacted by inflation. But we do see a inflation control as a challenge, but also as an opportunity. But yet, this is a scenario with interest rates in a very high level, which will end up being positive to our financial results. Therefore, we believe that the year will forecast profitability and recovery in comparison to 2022. And Reinaldo and Juliana, they highlighted that margin composition is a long and gradual pathway due to our liability, which is to be very close to our clients. We have to understand what their needs are, and also providers, they have to do the same. I believe, and I would like to highlight that in this macro scenario that we expect for the coming year, we expect to have this macro scenario with a under control inflation, with a good employment recovery, and an expected overall improvement thanks to the end of the pandemic. With that, I would like to thank our team of collaborators who have been, who have worked really hard in search for performance, results, profitability, and all this great engagement by the whole team. Thank you so much to all of you. And of course, our partnership, over 37,000 brokers spread all over the country, and they have been retail, cooperative partners, new platforms in our multi-channel strategy. All of that was key to allow us to reach this production level. Our post-sale team, they have been working really hard, achieving extremely great retention rates. And I couldn't stress enough our relationship with the providers and loss ratio team. They have been facing challenges. The whole market has been faced by enormous challenges, but we recognize our capacity of management and our quality of relationship with our stakeholders, our shareholders, and all those players who have been very important to guarantee and ensure our focus in the long term also allows sustainability. Thank you and have a wonderful day.